This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu.
Arvini Braj.
Today is World Press Freedom Day. We've been talking about whether or not social media should be responsible for news curation. Should we be banning people based on hate speech and things that they have to say online? Or do we look at it as freedom of expression, free speech, all of that kind of stuff? We are not America. We do not have those inalienable rights that they talk about. But, you know, that's one thing or another. We've asked you guys to give us some feedback, and because we're not talking about food or traffic, you don't seem to be wanting to comment on this. And maybe that's because you might be a little bit scared of saying something online that perhaps previously you were told you couldn't say.
Couldn't say.
Or maybe all these things we're telling you, you're mulling on it and processing it and thinking about it. So,
yeah.
Good.
Maybe. Or maybe you just get all of your news from Facebook and other social media outlets. But we did want to kind of wrap up with a positive story regarding press freedom and freedom of expression.
Right.
And this is from a piece that we picked up from the Star, the Daily
Star. The
Daily
Star in Bangladesh, right? Yeah. And this is an opinion a piece. And this is by Saad Hamadi, who is a regional campaigner for South Asia at Amnesty International. And he talks about Bangladesh and how freedom of expression is good for business. That's his opinion. Interestingly, so I was just having a check as well, according to what the reporters, what, RPF?
Yes.
RSF. Right? RSF. Yeah. So where Bangladesh is listed as 150 in terms of, what do you call it, press freedom.
Press freedom index.
Press freedom index, right? Singapore's 151. I just want to say that again. So anyway, Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina has set out an extremely ambitious vision to meet Bangladesh, to make Bangladesh a middle-income country by 2021, a high-income one by 2030, and a developed one by 2041. So, you know, if this vision, her vision has a greater economic opportunity. Bangladesh can improve human rights situation as a positive reinforcement for investment. Like, I'm just looking at where Malaysia is as well. It'd be interesting to know whether investments have increased because of this, right? I mean, this is, like I said, an opinion piece. And when I read this article, it's like something an old article that we would have read a year ago before May 9th, right? So just a little bit of background about Bangladesh. So the notorious, he says, Information Communication Technology Act, which the government itself acknowledged as flawed, was used to carry out thousands of arrests over a period of 6 years until last year. It was memorably invoked by the authorities last August when they arrested and detained the famed photographer and activist Shaidul Alam for more than 100 days. So instead of repealing the ICT Act, as the international community had long urged Bangladesh to do, the government introduced an even more draconian piece of legislation known as the Digital Security Act, DSA, in October 2018, something we did similarly as well, right? So there's been widespread international criticism of the DSA, under which no fewer than 14 offences are non-bailable and punishment can be as high as life imprisonment if there's a repeat offence where people are punished for their peaceful views and power can be exercised arbitrarily. Some investors can become very wary. I'll just give you an example of what they did. This is what we're seeing, the latest phase of the crackdown, where online media spaces have been shut down for reasons that have nothing to do with combating discrimination and violence or serving other legitimate concerns. In February, Bangladesh's first and largest Bangladesh language blog site, Somewhere in Blog, was shut down by authorities during a crackdown on 20,000 pornography and gambling websites. I don't think they were one of those.
No.
In March, access to Al Jazeera's website was temporarily blocked after an international news channel published an investigative report on enforced disappearances in Bangladesh. Joban, a Bangladeshi website that published an account of Al Jazeera's report, remains blocked. So lots of things
sounds
goes,
just like the Sarawak report and how that was blocked.
So this is the thing here. He says, at a time when Bangladesh is looking to attract greater foreign direct investment, the crackdown on freedom of expression and other human rights has not enhanced the country's international image. Some investors feel that lack of opportunity of the private sector to comment on proposed regulations and the government's sensitivity to public inputs and social media about developing regulations as impediments to investment. This is according to the Bureau of Economic and Business Affairs of State Department in July 2018. It says that one of the most effective tools for public outreach is the press. Businesses see growth potential when they're able to reach out to the public with their products and brands. Some of the most widely circulated newspapers in Bangladesh have suffered decline in revenues from advertisements since 2015. So the impact there, curbs on advertisement revenues restrains the capacity of the press to function freely across institutions. So allegations of agencies instructing some of the top private corporations to stop providing advertisements to prominent newspapers in Bangladesh have been reported in 2015.
You see, and that's the thing, you know, a lot of companies, a lot of agencies, a lot of brands would choose not to advertise in certain newspapers. And, and that holds true here as well, because if you advertised in a certain newspaper, you became affiliated with that side of the political argument. You know, and brands don't want to do that. They just want to sell their stuff. They don't want people to say, oh, okay, well, brand X is on, you know, Pakatan's side, or brand Y is on BN's side. You don't want that. You just want to sell your stuff. You know, and so rather than be branded as somebody who's on one side or the other, and, you and choose not to be on the side of either.
Right. And you want to be in something that has a wide circulation.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Your wide circulation was a demographic. But you look at the demographics, their income and all that. I don't really want to know about your political affiliations.
Yeah.
I just want to know you have the money.
Right.
Right. To be able to spend
on
microphones.
I want to know how many eyes are going to read this.
Yeah. Because all about traffic, right?
You know, they're not, you know, Sensodyne is not going to be worried about which political party you believe in. Just buy my toothpaste, right?
This is true.
Oh, there. I'm not a user. But anyway, also, he says that although the government has not fully shut down the critical press, restriction advertisements to prominent newspapers, criminal cases against journalists and surveillance have limited the scope of its functions. Most such press institutions survive primarily on subsidies from publishers and patrons, but they remain at the risk of being shut down if they're made to feel financially vulnerable. So this also means that some media institutions, but clearly those critical of the government, are not able to grow or reach their audience because the state agencies allegedly trying to exhaust their capacity by cutting revenue. So
there's a really interesting thing that he wraps up with he says Bangladesh will be in a better position to attract foreign and private investment if it discourages security agencies from meddling into the functions of the press, amends or repeals the repressive provisions in the Digital Security Act, decriminalizes defamation, and releases all people arrested for peacefully exercising their right to freedom of expression. Freedom of expression, the government will find, is actually good for business.
So, technically, we should get better investments moving forward with the Press Freedom Index moving up and stuff. We should.
That's the logically.
Logically, that should happen.
That should happen, yeah. And that was what me and Frida were briefly discussing earlier on today. You know, even though for looking at it as an outsider and somebody two or three steps, three or four steps up that ladder is a big deal for us here. Outside, I think investors are kind of still looking at it a little bit warily. You know, they're still wanting to come here with their money and they're seeing changes, but that change has kind of, I don't know, maybe it's plateaued a little bit over the last couple of months as local sentiment is a little bit unsteady.
I don't have the facts and figures, right? I'm just looking at America, right? I'm just looking at America, whether there is freedom of freedom of speech, freedom of the press there, and you've got a prime minister, you've got a president there that speaks his mind, whether that has affected investment, you know, whether that, you know, so because there you go, there's Exhibit A, so there's also a leader that speaks his mind.
Is it his mind, though? Does he have a mind? And I can say that. I can say that. It's an opinion. It's an opinion. Right. We have to wrap up for today, of course. It is World Press Freedom Day. You'll be hearing an awful lot about that throughout the rest of the day, of course. We started off with the story about whether or not social media should be responsible for news curation. We then moved on to...
We spoke about how Malaysia jumps 22 places in the latest Press Freedom Index.
Wrapping up with...
How in the story from Bangladesh, how freedom of expression is good for business.
If you want to carry on this topic of discussion, you can, of course, 0187898899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter, or on Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. It's an interesting one today. It is with Al Ishal Ishak. He's the chairman of the Malaysian Communication and Multimedia Commission, our old friends, the MCMC. There's been a lot of talk about 5G technology, expanding internet access and efforts to mitigate cybercrime. The Breakfast Grill spoke with Al Ishal Ishak about these issues as well as his priorities since he assumed the position of chairman in October of last year.
How things have changed.
You have been listening to Enterprise Prize Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9. If you've missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast. It's available via the app in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.